Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Greetings, listener dear! I'm Tom!
I'm Ben!
And hi, Matthew. And what a band Haim are. They really are.
They are good. Are they the musical female equivalent of Pappies?
Very much so. Very much so. I think I see us as the Haim of podcasting until, of course, Haim start their own podcast, which they may already have done.
Inevitable.
It may already have done. Yeah. So welcome to this very exciting festive episode, as it eventually became. We didn't realise at the start it was supposed to be a festive episode, but we got there at the end of Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting.
House Meeting.
Welcome one and all. Thank you so much for... Can we just thank you all for listening throughout the year?
Let's take a moment
to give thanks, to practice a little bit of gratitude. And thank you all, firstly, for downloading and listening to this episode. And also, if you have, for listening throughout the entire year. It's been a wonderful year here at Pappy Towers. We've loved it.
It means the absolute world to us to have your ear canal. And we literally wouldn't be able to do this without you. Yes, go on.
Speaking of which, I've got to read this out. We got this message in from Matt Barton. And he says... dear Pappies, happiest of festive times to you all. I was at my daughter's school carol service last night and suddenly realised that O Little Town of Bethlehem contains perhaps the first recorded instance of someone entering via the ear canal. Not only that, but it's none other than old JC himself. And then he quotes the lyrics here. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. Happy Christmas and watch out for cheeky old Jeebus sneaking into those festive ear canals. What a great message from Matt. Thank you so much, Matt.
That's brilliant.
It's true. I hadn't thought of that, but of course, that's the way you let Christ into your ears over the festive period.
Well, when there's only one set of footsteps in your ear canal, that was because...
we were carrying him. Yeah. And also, when you think about it, if Jesus was around these days, would he not podcast? Would he not, you know, like Jesus, he mixed with normal folk, the everyday men, the humble fishermen. You know, how else would he reach them these days apart from with a free podcast that goes out every Thursday unless you hop on the Patreon, a.k.a. become one of his 12 disciples, and have a little bit more access to Jesus.
Tom, you shouldn't tell everyone how many patrons we've got, by the way.
Let's try and get that number to 14 in 2024, guys.
And also, let's try and remember what day the podcast comes out. It's a Tuesday. So, but listen, crucially, this isn't the information we need to know. You need to know it as the listener. We're not details people, guys. We're not details people.
It's about sentiment.
Of course, the Patreon, patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare, if you want to get some extra bonus. If you're missing us over the festive break, then get yourself onto the Patreon, where for £4 a month, you can get a bonus episode every single week. And it's a real treat. There's a load of bonus episodes to catch up on. Or you can just start from the most recent episode and enjoy that as well. It is a tremendous amount of fun. So also, don't forget, if you are a fan of Pappy's Flatshare Slamdown, we're doing some live shows.
Great.
At the Phoenix Pub in the futuristic year of 2024. So we're there on January 29th and January 30th. Fingers crossed we make it. January 29th, we've got Joe Wilkinson and Suze Kempner. January 30th, we've got Cariad Lloyd and Kima Bob. They're both going to be fantastic. Both shows are selling fast. They're selling very fast indeed. So grab your tickets. I would say grab your tickets as soon as you can. That Wilkinson and Suze Kempner show is very nearly sold out, and the Kima and Cariad Lloyd one is catching up with it fast. So grab your tickets. We would love to see you there at the Phoenix in Cavendish Square for some very fun Flatshare Slamdowns.
Tickets are available at pappiescomedy.com/live.
But should we crack on with this episode? Because
we simply must.
And it started in a dance as old as time, with Clarkey being just a little bit late.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
What's going on, Clarky?
Sorry, I just completely forgot.
Are you all right? Are you? Were you?
Yes.
We were saying it's often in this instance you were like at the gym.
No, thankfully I wasn't.
Like, we're trying to work out which is worse, because I was saying, like, wait, if you're at the gym, it's worse for me because psychologically I know you're feeling good about yourself and you're like, I'm doing something good, I've got up, I'm at the gym, and then it's like, oh no, I've actually fucked it. and I don't know whether that change is worse than the, oh no, I've overslept, oh no, I've, like, it feels like that's all the same jolt. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The jolts, yeah, let's not, you know, the jolt is the worst.
The jolt's the jolt.
The but jolt yeah. is the jolt. So what were you up to? And the worst, I think, would be, worse than the gym, would be you recording another podcast.
I wasn't. I was doing nothing, basically.
You're just staring at the wall going, I wish I had something to do.
Yeah.
That's bad news.
That's yeah. worse.
Considering yeah, that's it's worse. 9 a.m. on a Monday.
I know, yeah.
Wish
I was bleaking out, man. You really interrupted my bleak out with something to do.
So committed to the bleak out. You had the bleak out in the diary before you had the podcast in the diary, didn't you?
That's it, yeah.
So committed to the bleak
out. Set a reminder for the bleak out.
That you, even when work came in to get you out of the bleak out, you were like, no, I think I'm going to pass.
Because isn't Black Monday, isn't that in Jan? Have we got that coming up?
Not for Clarky, it's not.
Clarky reschedules. Well, he's like the Queen, isn't he? He has two bleak Mondays.
He has 52 bleak Mondays, you mean?
He has the official Black Monday, and then he has a few cheeky Black Mondays of his own.
You guys don't have to celebrate with me. I'm very happy doing it on my own. We could have a national Black Monday, and then one that's just for me, really.
When is that? Have we got that coming up? Is it the second week of Jan or something?
I don't know. I sort of don't really buy into any of these concepts because inherently
oh no, they're real.
I sort of inherently fear anything that's like, I don't like the idea of a sort of collective depression. And I feel like if other people around me are feeling a bit down, it's like I'm the kind of person, I think I'd start like going, no, you're not. Come on. Like start tap dancing in front of them. Right. You know, like I can't buy into these ideas. Well,
They've programmed your BBC special for that day, haven't they?
That's
and it
right,
is just tap
yeah.
dancing for half an hour and it does contribute to the national bleak.
Actually,
I know your intentions are pure.
Exactly. It's quite the opposite effect on the national mood. It really
yeah, what
is.
Came first, actually? The bleak out or the tap dance?
Well, I've been doing my televised BBC special for the last 175 years. It actually predates the BBC. That's it.
It used to be put out on one of those wheels that you look through and it...
The zoetrope. The problem was, I never moved past the zoetrope. Because the zoetrope, a guy tap dancing looks impressive. And you're like, oh, I could watch this for ages. But if it's a guy actually physically tap dancing, who crucially can't tap dance on telly...
It was the great tragedy of our sitcom, wasn't it? We wrote it for zoetrope, really. And it like did, that yeah. script... That script and those performances on Zoetrope.
They worked so well on Zoetrope.
They worked so well. We were just trapped in the wrong medium, I think.
This is it. When the BBC came to us and said, look, we're going to put out a DVD, we were like, you're making... Right, this is going to blow
Hang
up
on.
In your faces,
well,
guys.
DVD.
This technology is way too advanced. We're effectively an Amish sketch group.
At best, camera obscura.
Camera obscura, exactly.
At best.
Clarky, can I just say, it's very rare to get you at your best, and it's a real tonic.
Well, of course, podcast isn't my medium, guys.
Famously.
If you had me on the end of a tin can with a string on it, that would have been amazing.
Your medium is sofa and wall, isn't it? That's your... but seriously though, we've got to check in because it's important that you know, we're all concerned about men's mental health. Clarkie, are you all right, mate?
Yeah, I'm okay, thank you very much.
Okay, I'll check in again same time, same December next year.
I thought the 5 minutes.
So there's so the bleak Monday thing, which comes in the middle of Jan.
Yeah.
You're right. There, I feel reticent about that as well. About that kind of, everyone's going to feel bad today, and I think some it feels like someone writing a dissertation came up with a formula or some shit, isn't it? They always go to a formula to say it's been calculated or something.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. So, but the one that I do like getting on board with is, isn't this Friday, isn't the Friday before Christmas like Loopy Friday, where there's like the most arrests and everyone goes nuts in town centres?
No, Tom, that's only in Wolverhampton, and that's the purge. They have a purge in Wolverhampton just before Christmas. There's looting and rioting. It's a very different thing.
Yeah, it's not loopy, it's looty.
You got to do your Christmas looting.
Looty Friday in Wolverhampton is not a national thing. It's not an international thing. I was thinking this, right? You know, like, because they often do, they'll do these, it's like, it's newspaper articles, and it's normally like a survey that's been done by, you know, some insurance company or whatever, yeah, just to get themselves in the paper. But it'll be like, you know, we've looked at all the towns in Britain, and this is the happiest town to live. Imagine being like a miserable person and finding out your town is the happiest town to live, and thinking, yeah, oh my God, there's no hope for me. What can I do? You know, it's not like I can go, well, I'll move to a different place. I'm in the place where everybody is happy. If I moved out, it would make everyone even happier because it would bring the average down.
You don't want the pressure, do you? You don't want the pressure of having to try and be happy all the time.
Oh, exactly. No. Is that why you moved to Exeter?
It's fine, yeah.
It's why I've been very content in South London for my entire life.
Well, I think actually, I do think just after I left Crystal Palace, about 2 months later, it got voted. You know, because they'd often do it in London, don't they? And it was like top five best places to live in London.
Yeah,
leapt up the charts.
Yeah, which is mad, isn't it? They literally just as they could hear the engine of your car just pootering away into the distance.
He's gone. Like,
okay, time to do the survey, guys.
Stick on Pharrell.
House prices leap up.
They spoke to the people in the house next to you and the people in the house on the other side, and they were like, yeah, it's a great place to live now.
Do you know what I think could have happened back in... This is what I've been contemplating. When you look at, you know, Rightmove, and you're looking at house prices, and every so often, a little bit of fun to go into a random city. Like, obviously, I'm from the Midlands, so, like, hop back to the Midlands and go, what's the same considerable price for a house that's not in the south or whatever it is? So I was thinking about, is there a theory in you buy your house up north and then move it down south? Like, would the cost of transporting...
Tom.
Would the cost of transporting your house...
Tom.
Would you cost...
Tom, Tom, you know the answer to this. It's not the house, is it? It's the land.
Matthew, you well, hear him out.
Sorry, Tom.
No, I don't think you're hearing me out here.
You've got to hear him out here. Of course he's thought this through, Matthew.
Tom, if you put your...
Come on, Tom, let's hear it.
If you put your house in Exeter on the back of a flatbed truck and move it around, I'll tell you, the value will change, but it'll be constantly decreasing.
Very difficult with the terrace too.
You see them on the motorway occasionally, don't you? Half a house going down. It's always delightful to see.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. When you see a house on the back of a flatbed truck, you know, those prefab houses, you always want somebody to come out with a cup of coffee. Just come out the front door.
You really do. You really do.
Do a little stretch, pick up the paper and go back inside.
Or just be like, what?
Yeah, do the double take. They come out to collect their milk, do a double take, they're on the M4, check the milk, throw it over their shoulder. Yes, please. And they're a vicar, of course.
Check the milk.
Check the milk they haven't drunk and throw it over their shoulder back into their house.
into oncoming traffic on southbound.
House meeting.
The socks only useful for putting your feet in.
House meeting.
I'm just thinking, you know, if you say you get a 5-bed for an extra, you know, for 100 grand less.
Yeah. You take it brick by brick.
Get that. And like if you put half that 100 grand into the move, your quid's in.
Yeah, but you've got to get someone to reassemble the house on the other side.
Yeah.
And you've got, and crucially, Tom, you have to buy the land you're going to reassemble the house
on. Yeah, I've got a good feeling you're going to be quids out.
Yeah, I think if you said to somebody, if you went to a building firm now and said, will you take a house from Exeter to London and build it brick by brick, I would say they'd quote you slightly more than 50 grand.
If we were a breakfast radio station 25 years ago, yeah, we'd have that call to play out now, wouldn't we? I'd have recorded it.
If we were Steve Penk.
If we were Penk in his prime.
Penk in his absolute pomp. You would definitely get Penk giving a building firm a call. And, you know, you'd have all his funny zoo team sort of giggling away in the background. I love it. It was a halcyon time.
So for the younger listener dears, Penk was like...
I thought you were going to start with radio. Radio. I would describe it as the audio zoetrope. Clarkie would describe camera obscura.
Very much at its best. Camera obscura. To listener dear, how would one describe Penk? He was like the poet laureate of radio pranks, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He was.
He was a maestro.
Yeah, he was. He was the original phone jacker. And for the kids, how do we describe phone jacker?
Well, it was a little bit like Trigger Happy TV. Now for the kids,
it was like Beadle for the YouTube generation.
Exactly.
Okay, have we got you?
Speaking of which, I was working with a comedian the other day, and because I am extremely boring, I was trying to tell them an anecdote about Danny Baker. And
of course,
you know, whenever I'm faced with somebody in there, oh, I'm so sorry, my cleaner's just cleaning outside. Sorry.
Oh, thank God. We've just been spared the Baker anecdote.
Sheepers creepers.
Yeah. I'm back. So, I was trying to tell her an anecdote about Danny Baker, because obviously that's what you do. When you're faced with someone in their early 20s, you think, I've got to tell them about Danny Baker. It's going to blow their minds. And I was trying to sort of give this person some context as to who Danny Baker was. And I said, oh, well, they were Chris Evans' writer. And they were like, oh, Chris Evans is in, like, from the Marvel movies. He's like, no, the British Chris Evans, you know, the one from TFI Friday and Don't Forget Your Toothbrush. And just nothing at all, no recognition, no idea of who that was. And I thought, you know what? It's rare you get a moment like that where you go, I can't believe there are people in this world who don't know who the broadcaster Chris Evans are. But of course, you know, he's not been, you know, he used to do the Radio 2 breakfast show, but why would someone in their 20s know about that?
The what?
Exactly. The audio zoetrope. But
you don't listen to Virgin Radio breakfast show.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what?
It's like someone going, Mike Reed to us. Like, come on. Of course, Mike Reed.
We know who Mike Reed is, Tom.
Mike Reed, mate.
That's the problem.
I don't know who Mike Reed is. I just plucked a random name out there. Mike Reed.
There's two Mike Reeds, as far as I'm concerned. There's obviously Mike Reed from EastEnders, the stand-up comedian.
Listen.
Look what you've done to me, Pat.
Listen.
Or there's Mike Reed, the DJ who banned Frankie Goes to Hollywood's Relax. And again, all of these words to someone in their 20s means absolutely nothing. Unless a little bit of Relax has been used on TikTok, these people are not going to know what we're talking about.
Right. I've had a really good idea.
Great.
Okay. I think it's probably a TV format.
Here we go.
Is it moving a house on the back of a flatbed truck? Just to check.
Like Challenge Annika style. Now, for those listening, Challenge Annika. Annika Rice was now Google Annika Rice because honestly, in her prime.
Tom, I would absolutely. I think there's something to be said for relocation.
Yes,
I think that's a good. That could be a good show.
Part of it's a race. It's like Grand Designs, but it's also a race.
It's Grand Designs meets the Grand Tour. You've got obviously you've got Hamster. He's got an igloo. He's got a transport an igloo, right? Something like that. Or you know what you do? You do it Three Little Pig style. You got bricks. You got sticks. You got straw. That's how you do it. That would be a very special panto episode, wouldn't it?
Here comes the big bad Stig to blow it down.
Exactly. Yeah, sorry. What was your TV format?
It's called Prankster's Paradise, and it's like the Big Brother house, but with legendary pranksters from different generations.
Yes.
And every day they get a different apprentice style task.
Yes.
To go out and prank, and it's and then the best pranks kind of win. Yeah, you know, you kind of have
There's an element of Taskmaster to it as well.
There's Taskmaster, there's Apprentice, there's Big Brother. They're all living in the same house. And they can score points or buy themselves more prank time if they prank each other in the house where the secret cameras are rolling.
I love it.
So you need an Alan Sugar style. You want Beedle, basically. You want like a hologram of Beedle.
Yes.
A zoetrope? Could we have a zoetrope of Beedle? a zoetrope of Beedle waving. So, yeah.
His zoetrope's broken. No, that's how he waves. what you need is like a grand prankster.
Well, I think that's where you get Penk. You get Penk, the other person, although I don't think he sees himself as a prankster anymore, he sort of reinvented himself, would be Edmonds. Because Edmonds, for me, the Gotcha Oscar was the absolute highlight of one of the great shows on television. Now, again, you try and tell a kid today about Noel's House Party. They maybe might remember a guy with a beard who showed up on I'm a Celebrity for a bit and then pissed off. They might remember Deal or No Deal, not the reboot with Stephen Mulhern. But, you know, I don't think Edmonds is you know, but this is what's
we can
get
kind of couch this episode instead of like an end of year review. This is just like an end of 50 year review. if we can say it like that, then I think we can get away with all this chat. Anyway, you're absolutely right. Edmonds is a great show. You've got Edmonds as like this kind of taskmaster figure, who comes in, he'd play the sugar part well. I'm thinking about the beards. And so then they get their prank assignment. Sometimes they have to prank in pairs, and they also get bonus points and more prank time if they prank each other when they go home to the prank house.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah,
really,
and you get
really
different
good.
Generations of pranking. You get them talking about they're sitting around having a beer, talking about their great pranks from the past.
Yeah, I mean, my problem is I don't know many of the sort of current YouTube pranksters, but I'm sure that bit's easy to find, right? But
our Gen Z research team would find those people.
Yeah. Who are your sort of top prankers that you would get? Like, who are your sort of legacy prankers? Who would it be? Would you go? I mean, obviously, we've talked about Penk. Who else would you see as the sort of Jolly's got to be in there? Dom Jolly's got to be in there.
Lee Nelson's got to be in there.
Lee Nelson, of course. Simon Brodkin, very much the sort of the modern prank stunts. Yeah, definitely. Let's not forget Olivia Lee. Olivia Lee, of course.
Let's forget.
Like, you know,
Kraskel. Aaron Kraskel. I mean, anyway.
Aaron Kraskel, I think, yeah. He's a who's who
of Pranksterville and different styles from different places. Prankster's Paradise, I think there's something in that.
Do you think we could get Tom Green over from Canada? Do you think he'd come over and... come over and hump a dead moose or something like that, you know? Up a goat's head?
They'd want him in for box office. He's the Nigel Farage of the bill. What's he going to do? Has he lost his edge? Does he still want to put his dick in a goldfish? Or, like, what will he do in that house? Yeah.
Absolutely right. Yeah. I love it.
He can't have fared well, can he?
What do you mean by that? I saw him actually. I saw him recently. He was on a show called I think it's called LOL, and it's like a reality. It is a reality show. It's very good. Mae Martin was in it as well. And the idea is you're all in, yeah. And they do it in different countries. I don't know if they've done a British one, but this was a Canadian one they'd done. It's a load of comedians in a house together, and the idea is the first person to laugh gets eliminated. It's last one laughing is what it's called. That's what it's called. Last one laughing, and the face off at the end. You've got two giants, two titans. You've got Tom Green, right, who's made it all the way to the end. He's beaten off stiff competition for people like Caroline Ray and Mae Martin, and he's up against Colin Mochrie. Yes, please. It was. I really enjoyed that show. It's on Amazon Prime. It's on your buddies over at Amazon Prime.
Did Mochrie take Green to the cleaners? Because if anyone can make someone corpse, it's Mochrie.
I'm not going to give spoilers. I already told you. It's like
Mochrie had spoils in stitches, didn't he?
Yeah, Mochrie's.
And again, you say that sentence to someone these days, and they'll look at you like you're Dutch.
Absolutely. If I sit down with a 19-year-old and say, listen, I want to tell you all about Ryan Stiles, they don't know who I am or how I've made it into their house. And I think that is a problem. More for me than it is for them.
Can't hear you over the tap shoes. Ryan Stiles is absolutely something we'd say to each other at 2 o'clock in the morning at a house party that we've stayed up for too long.
Yeah, absolutely right.
Listen, don't go into that corner. The Pappy's boys have taken a deep dive on Who's Line. And that's also a sentence they were saying to each other 2 hours ago. So,
God. See, changed off our gourd chatting about Greg Proops, having a lovely time of it.
Absolutely prooped to the nines.
And if, listen, I'm sorry, okay, but that is what I consider to be a traditional Christmas, all right? And I know, you know, like, I know this Happy Holidays Brigade wants to ban that kind of Christmas, but I think, actually, chopping up some hotlines and meow meow, snorting them up, and talking about how good Mike McShane and Josie Lawrence were together, that is what I consider to be.
You know, it might be a Black Monday, but at least it's a white Saturday night.
Timed it badly, though, because Wednesday will be the national bleak out, so it's going to be a tough day. Tough day. Slattery, of course. We'd raise a glass, Slattery.
Slattery, a legend. Oh,
the crown prince of Who's
Slattery.
Line.
Slattery, so good. Right, anyway, we can't go down.
We can't go down this route.
This, by the way, is what happens in our meeting, in our TV meeting, we go to pitch Prankster's Paradise, is that we end up sitting with a TV producer who's a similar age to us and just going, oh, Slattery was good. Wasn't he good? I tell you what, no one can hoe down like Ryan Stiles.
Oh, man. Amazing. Amazing. I wore Slattery's wig once, didn't I?
You did wear Slattery's wig, yeah.
we were recording a thing, looked inside the wig. Slattery.
Slattery, from Just a Gigolo. What a
sitcom.
Standing
on the shoulders of giants. Wow. I think we've finally done it. I think we finally recorded an episode that is just for the three of us to listen to.
Yes, that's fair.
I'm not listening to this.
Emma's put a very pertinent message in the chat. She said, is this supposed to be your Christmas special? And yes, the answer is yes, it is, Emma. We hadn't quite got around to the topic of Christmas yet.
This is our Christmas present to ourselves. Oh, my word.
House meeting.
What's the worst thing you've considered eating?
House meeting.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Clarky, are you advent calendar?
Tom, that was a fantastic handbrake turn and you did it you did it perfectly.
Thank you. Here's the thing.
You know what? This is the team working together here. Emma, the producer, gives the notes. Tom, as the competent host, goes, right, how do we do this? How do we make sure that we've got... You know, we've been recording for about 25 minutes. The episode's probably only going to last about 35. Let's turn it round. So we're talking advent calendars now.
Crosby, as the incompetent host, reads out the note on air.
Absolutely, yeah.
Clarky, not aware there was a note.
She doubt.
Clarky bleaking out against the wall.
Clarky, does having an advent calendar get in the way of staring at the wall, staring at the plain wall?
Does it add to the bleak out? You're just ticking off your life day by day.
I'd say, right, the advent calendars, we messed up a bit this year where we were given two chocolate ones. And
each?
We decided, we both liked the idea of both of them. So we were like, tell you what we'll do. I'll do odd day on one and even day on the other.
What?
And we'll alternate.
Sorry, what? This, by the way, is two people with no kids. You've got so much time on their hands, they've gone insane.
This is what we're getting to now.
An embarrassment of luck. This is you've got like paradise disease or paradise syndrome, like fucking Dave Stewart went down with. You've got a life that is just so full of abundance. You're like, oh, how are we going to eat our two chocolate advent calendars? Let's make a rota for it. Listen.
And every Wednesday, I use my right hand.
I thought every Wednesday you use your left hand, so it feels like someone else is eating the advent calendar. So, Clarky, talk us through your system. You've got two advent calendars, so you've got 48 chocolates in the house. And
how different are the chocolates? First question. Are we talking? Is one like a truffle? What? How different are they?
It's not that decadent. One's Cadbury's. One's Malteser.
Lovely.
And basically, the Malteser one isn't very good.
Is it all Malteser all month?
The thing is, it's not even. There's no crunchy bit in any of the chocolate. So it just says Malteser, but it's just lower quality chocolate.
So there's no malt.
No.
So they're literally Maltesing you, aren't you?
Yeah. Lots of teas, no malt. Yeah.
They're promising malt and not delivering. Unbelievable.
Side idea: if you're Maltesers, put out mulled wine flavored Maltesers in December. Mulled teasers. Carry on. Carry on.
Plucking. I love it. Yeah.
That's sidebar.
Well, that's it. That's the whole.
No, we don't understand your system. So you're saying, wait, you're doing odd days. So you're doing one calendar. Yeah.
Day one.
Yeah.
I have Cadbury's, Megan has Malteser. Day two, I have Malteser, she has Cadbury's. Day three, we're back again.
You're alternating.
I see.
We're alternating.
You're alternating the calendars.
And how's it gone to pieces? Did you get trigger happy on the Cadbury?
Oh, if only. But basically, what's happened is all the time, I'm quite laissez-faire with it, but Megan's very like, come on.
Yeah.
Eat your chocolate.
I'm like, I'll have it later. I'll have it tomorrow. It's fine.
Is Megan pre-breck?
She's pre the day a lot of the time, Tom.
Well, she's setting an alarm at 4 a.m. to wake up and eat your chocolate.
Is this where the system's gone wrong? She's gone on the stroke of midnight. You've woken up. It's the wrong day.
I think I've missed out on quite a lot of chocolate, is basically what I'm saying.
Those days do tend to fly by when you're staring at the wall, don't they? It's the 18th already. I thought it was the 5th. Yeah, Ben, you've not moved.
Well, the days merge into one, but that's only because we left the calendars in a sunny spot in the house.
Oh, nothing worse.
This year I thought, you know, like it's a tricky one, the chocolate advent calendar with little kids, because you think you don't want to be giving them a chocolate every single morning. You also don't want to say, okay, one of you gets a chocolate, one of you doesn't get a chocolate every single morning. So it becomes that the thing of going, well, how do we solve that? My parents,
one of you gets chocolate on the odd day, one on the even day.
Exactly. You understand odds and evens, very simple. You 4-year-old child who wakes up every morning and doesn't know what day it is and what you're about to do that day, you understand the concept that these are even days and odd days, right? but yeah, so I my parents got around that by the no chocolate advent calendar. So we had the picture, religious scene each day.
Didn't even
really sort of think about it until late into primary school when other people talked about these chocolate advent calendars, but never did that.
Were you picture calendar, Clarkie?
Yeah. We had the same calendars every year that we would bring back out with their kind of worn down doors and the shell of
doors again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But with a weird twist, they were page 3 girls, weren't they, behind each door? Now, bear in mind, this was the 80s. But a big call.
That was Clarkie's dad's calendar. It's a special
it's
secret.
It's a great prank.
Special secret calendar that stuck to the back of a wardrobe.
Did you say prank? Yeah. So what kind of pictures did you guys... did you have ones to look forward to? Because it feels like that's pretty bleak.
Yeah,
same calendar's coming out each year and it's like... You're not going great on the 8th. It's going to be the Three Kings, and that's a pretty dynamic photo.
No, I think I was. I think I was like, oh, good. I like camels. I genuinely was. I was like, oh, yeah, great.
Yeah, looking forward to the 6th.
I was a big smoker. But so then I thought, like, in a similar thing for my kids, I thought what I'll do is I was in St. Martin's at the Crypt, you know, in which I do a lot of my Christmas shopping, you know that. The Crypt at St. Martin's. I go, what do my kids really want?
Were you looting the Crypt again?
That's right. I got my daughter one of Thomas A. Beckett's fingers. And she loves it. Honestly, she really loves it.
But only one finger before breakfast.
Exactly.
You can't have them all.
Exactly. A lot of her friends are getting very into Barbie. But I said, no, no, no. I'll tell you the Barbie of his day, Thomas A. Beckett. You try telling the kids today about Thomas A. Beckett, they won't know what the fuck you're talking about.
The original prankster. The original prankster doing the old, oh, is that my finger? Oh. For the listener at home, I just attempted the trick and nailed it.
It was really good. I don't know what it was, but it was great.
Yeah, whatever the trick he was attempting, he apparently nailed it. By the way, the zoetrope will be available from our merch stall.
We'll put them in the post.
Yeah. So I decided, I saw a big Julia Donaldson advent calendar. Now, Julia Donaldson is the author of The Gruffalo.
We'll get to Donaldson.
We can talk about Donaldson, who absolutely has got Christmas sewn up, right?
She's got the world sewn up.
Yeah.
You can't buy a book anymore that Donaldson hasn't been involved in.
I know. Sometimes you pick up a book and you go, well, it's not been drawn by Axel Scheffler, so it must not be a Julia Donaldson book. No. It's been drawn by Lydia Monk, but it's still been written by Julia Donaldson. She is children's literature for the kind of under sevens. She does everything.
And it's something every 4 seconds a Donaldson book gets sold or something.
It's mad. It's absolutely mad. Well, anyway, I tell you what, back at the Crypt at St. Martin's, I bought a giant. So it's right. So we're talking about like possibly an A2, A1 sized book that opens up like double gatefold, opens up, and inside was 24 little books. And I was like, great, that's great. Every morning we wake up, we take out the book, we read a little Gruffalo story, or we read a little Tabby McTat story, or whatever, and that'll be it. And I thought, great, this is brilliant. Anyway, then I open up the...
I got a Dan Brown one of those, by the way.
Very hard to open, though. You have to crack the code, don't you?
You have to go.
Is it an odd day? Is it an even day? Very difficult code. Very difficult code.
But then each thing is like, I thought it would be like, we'll all read a story together. But each thing is like a, okay, here's how you can make a Gruffalo hat. So get a pen and paper and you write this thing here and then cut this out and then stick it here. And you go like, we're not doing that preschool. There's no way we're doing that before the school run. So basically, we did a few, what tends to happen is, whatever the thing is, they become little colouring books. So just say, go and just scribble on that for a bit and then scribble on a picture of the Gruffalo. And then,
I did the same with my Dan Brown ones, to be honest.
There's a lot of that around this time of year where it's like, here's a book that's a poem a day. And you kind of think, that's a great idea. Or what a nice gift. Every morning I wake up and read a poem. Or it's like, you know, here's a, you know, better yourself over the year. And then it's just like by, you know, day three, you're just like, do you know what? Fuck this poem all to hell, actually.
Yeah.
I'm going to batter myself instead.
It's Black Monday. Go fuck your poem, mate.
Yeah, that was very much a big thing in the sort of like, it felt like a big thing in the 2000s was like everybody was getting given a diary that was like, each day do a fun creative thing.
Yeah.
And you're like,
this diary will change your life.
That was exactly what it was called. Yeah, this diary will change your life. And I feel like nobody ever finished one. Nobody ever got to sort of the 31st of December of that year and went, oh, great, now I can start my brand new This Diary Will Change Your Life, because I've done all my little things of, like, you know, writing a limerick or drawing a sketch or smiling at a stranger or something that you probably shouldn't be doing anymore.
Hey, but it sold. It did good numbers, didn't it? So is there inspirado here, right? What you do is we do a This Podcast Will Change Your Year, it's called, or This Podcast Will Change Your Life. And everyone has to buy in on it. You have to subscribe for the year. And it's like every morning there'll be a 5-minute podcast that will change your day. And then people go, oh, great. So they lump on. Everyone buys in. We get like big numbers.
Yeah.
Great. We know.
I love that that's part of the game plan. By the 7th of Jan. It's a good idea for a podcast. A podcast that gets big numbers.
Yeah, how about that? Big numbers. Everyone has to everyone invests.
We've not tried it before, but it's, you know, 2024, that's our plan. Start a podcast that gets big numbers.
But then we know, because we remember what that diary was like and those things are like, by the 7th of Jan, everyone's going to have given up anyway.
But we crucially,
they've subscribed for the year, but no one's listening. So
no one's really listening, so we're just fucking tossing out any old nonsense in March.
Yeah, it's not like us.
We've already banked the coin from the kind of new year, I'm going to change my life drive. It's what gyms do, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
Gyms, you sell your subscriptions in Jan.
Yeah.
So we say, look, this is the pod. This podcast will change your life every day, 5 minutes in the morning. It's going to give you something that'll change your life.
It's a little bit of, it's brain gym. It's basically brain gym podcast, a daily gym podcast.
We're going to have a fashion expert on this morning. He's going to tell you one thing that's going to change the way you dress for all of Jan. We're going to have a coffee guy who's going to tell you where coffee goes from.
Are you literally suggesting we do a 5-minute podcast that is basically This Morning with Alison Hammond and Dermot O'Leary?
It's going to do the numbers, man. It's going
to
do big numbers.
Today we've got Dr. Hilary Jones to talk to you about the menopause.
But it, like, for the, all we need is big names for the first 7 days. If we can get to Jan 7th with people going like, you know, Greg Davis is going to tell you how to wear a boot or something, and then you get to day 7, we know everyone's dropping off.
Parry, like, all of these ideas are at best a mid-March.
Greg Davis tells you how to wear a boot.
Well, you have the names in, and it's like, they're going to do one, or we're going to learn with them, and it's going to be great, a little thing, 5 minutes, set yourself up, off you go, or a challenge a day, or... Penk's going to be on to teach you how to prank. Prank with Penk. They're like mini masterclasses.
Well, you've got Danny Baker to tell you an anecdote.
and then off you go, you know. You bank those numbers, you bank them in December. There's something in it, isn't there? There is something in that.
There's something, all right.
There's something.
But yeah, that's the drive. So are you, and did you get yourself one of those advent calendars as well, Crosby? Or are you guys chocolating?
No, we haven't got any advent calendar for ourselves. Yesterday we got a gift of a lovely box of chocolates from our neighbours, and my self-control is appalling, right? I'm just so bad, right? So we were out delivering a Christmas card. The first house went to us, our neighbours, and he said, I've got a present for you, it's a box of chocolates. So we're out and about, we've got this box of chocolates under the buggy, right? And so Cleo's asking for the chocolates. We give her a chocolate, we give Sylvia a chocolate, we have a chocolate each. Then Sylvia as well is like, you know, it's like an adult's grown up chocolate. So she's like sort of gumming it a bit. At one point, it rolls on the floor. I pick it up and I should probably chuck it away, but she clearly still wants it. So I sort of like lick it all over to kind of get the dirt off and go, well, look, my saliva is probably better than whatever dog poo it's rolled through. Yeah. You know, so
you've got that rough cat's tongue as well.
Exactly.
Really.
The sandpaper tongue that's got me so far in my career, and I'm sort of doing this. But anyway, as I'm licking it all over, I go, oh well, I think Sylvie might have got the best chocolate. So I'm just watching it in her little wet paw, and she's not really eating it. Every now and then, she sort of rubs it on her mouth a bit, and so eventually I go, hey, do you want some like? Yeah, exactly. Biding time. So eventually I say, hey, do you want some like little mini flapjacks instead? And she eats those, and I just take the chocolate and I yam it. And then I sit down last night to watch Your Christmas and Mine 2, which, by the way, I absolutely adored. I thought it was absolutely fantastic. I really, really, really enjoyed it. And but then I think, oh, I'll just have a few chocolates while I'm doing it. I'll just have maybe just one or two. And then I have about six or seven and half a bottle of red wine. Yeah. And again, Charlie goes to bed and I'm there going, oh God, I feel like I should be discussing whose line is it anyway in the corner. Like, you know, like I'm utterly wired, you know, and it's like sort of 10:30 at night. I didn't get to bed till gone midnight. I was just lying there with my eyes open, you know, grinding my teeth going, why could I not just have a little tiny bit of self-restraint and not eat a bunch of, you know, like also as well, the rationale in your head is because half the chocolates were liqueurs and the other half weren't. So it's like, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to eat all the dark chocolate ones, all the liqueur ones. So then when the kids go to the chocolate box, any of those ones
being
they
a good
can
dad,
eat.
You're
that's exactly it, yeah. Exactly. I'm doing all of that. So I'm yamming the dark chocolates full of caffeine. I'm yamming the boozy ones. They're, you know, waking me up. It's all of that full of sugar as well. Oh, it was an absolute nightmare. So I can't be trusted with an advent calendar, because there would be no odd days or even days. There'd be one very gross morning, and that would be it.
It is weird. Christmas is, if you take a step back, Christmas is weird. Like,
I know, a manger.
We have a whole year of going like, this is bad. Like, not bad, but like, you got to watch what you eat, and, you know, don't, you know, this is chocolates, this isn't good for you, and this and that. And then we have what's becoming 4.5 weeks, pretty much, of like, do you know what? Just fucking go for your fucking, what the fuck are you doing messing around?
Yeah.
Let's just fucking go nuts here and go mad and not think about it. And then it's like, it's crazy.
At least the people of Wolverhampton have the restraint to do one day's worth of purge.
One night, get it done, get it out of the way, Loopy Friday.
They have a Loopy Friday. You have, yeah, basically, what you have, especially, I think it especially becomes in when you've got kids, from Halloween through to, I imagine now, New Year's Day. Is going to be an absolute,
like, eating at the table's gone out the window. Our house has come; it's become feral.
Yeah,
it's like
every surface you can eat
like,
off of.
Try and eat more fruit. No, that's fucking gone. Just cram some more chocolate in your fucking gob before breakfast. It's like, it's just everything goes crazy. And I'm so fearful of Jan, of trying to get things back on track.
Wait, did you say Jan or jam?
Oh, jam. Okay, well, you know my phobia for jam, and then that gets worse at Christmas.
It's too much fruit in it. It's just too good for your jam at this time of year.
That's what's in our advent calendar. Just smear some jam. Have a lick of that. Honey, smooth peanut butter today. It's just a variety of spreads.
Would that be a good advent calendar? So it, you open it up and it's one of the little Tetra packs you get from a hotel.
I'd be into that.
A toast topper advent calendar. I would go for that.
A loaf of bread. So you give a loaf of bread. So I imagine we're looking at about 24 slices in a loaf of bread.
Yeah, but they're not going to last. You know that last. I would say, you're going to have to pop the bread in the freezer at the very least.
Yeah, okay.
I would say let them deal with the bread themselves.
What about Melba toast? Something like that. Rice cakes.
No, it's not as much fun. Melba toast. Let's go. Let's let them.
Look, you're absolutely right.
The bread.
No one wants a Melba toast advent calendar.
Right, Vita? Yeah. Household, find your own bread, right? But the advent calendar, crucially, each day has got a little Nutella or a
Marmite.
Yeah. I was going to say, can we list 24? But there's no way we can end our Christmas episode by trying to list. But crucially, guys, if you want to get in touch, what's going in your spreads advent calendar?
That biscotti spread, that's going to be...
Ooh, the biscotti.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Love it.
When you get to, what, 23rd? I don't know, 24th, yeah. It's got to be Christmassy, hasn't it? Brandy sauce.
Is there a Christmas spread?
Just brandy.
Brandy sauce.
The Christmas I've had, I'm just going to have a load of brandy on my toast.
I have no self-control, me. I sit down to watch a lovely movie. I dip a loaf of bread in a bottle of brandy. And before you know it, I'm YouTubing Whose Line Is It Anyway? And I'm sobbing.
Anyway,
I'm trying to contact Chris Vranch through different members of it. I'm trying to find his number through the internet.
Richard Branch. Chris Branch, the composer you worked with.
Oh yes, that's right. Also good on the piano.
Fantastic on the piano. Wrote the Dog Squad theme tune. Love his work. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Dog Squad, also written by Rose Johnson and Camille Lushan.
Friends of the show. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
And can I tell you now, the voice of Diesel, Alex Brooker, who is going to be appearing on Flat Slam in 2024. That's an exclusive. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everybody. And from all of us at Dog Squad, Merry Christmas.
House meeting.
How do they make bread with no wheat in?
House meeting.
So there you go. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good podcast.
Yeah, the reviews are in.
Yeah.
Three wise men, 4 stars.
If you want to, give us five, surely. Come on, why have you damned us with a 4-star review? In podcasting terms, a 4-star is a 1-star. If you want to leave us a review, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can. So listen and subscribe and review. It all helps new people find this podcast. And for 2024, that's what we're after. A few new ear canals for us to slide down like the Lord JC himself.
Absolutely. And do remember to get your tickets to come to those live shows. We'll be doing live shows in Jan.
Yes.
And Feb and March, come along to all of those. It's going to be an absolute blast.
Yes, yeah. 29th and 30th of January. Suze Kempner and Joe Wilkinson on the 29th. Carad Lloyd and Kima Bob on the 30th.
Tickets are available at pappiescomedy.com/live. So get on board, come along. It's always so much fun to have a lovely full room and have a real lark. So come on down in the new year.
And guys, have a very Merry Christmas.
Have a very Merry Christmas, one and all. And Merry Christmas, of course, to Emma Corsham, who produces all of these episodes. Thank you, Emma.
Corsham team.
Oh, I didn't mean to do it like that, but yeah, I guess
well,
I did.
I mean it.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Right.
There we go. It works.
Cheers, everyone.
Bye.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.